Today on Real Radio.
Devotion to God has its difficulties, people. Are any of you considering being a Christian, a real one? I want to be the first to tell you, it's not easy. It's not easy to be a Christian. It's difficult.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. Now, 1 and 2 Samuel are both well-known as historical narrative, and they truly are fascinating accounts of the lives of those people who contributed to Israel's history and her development. Now, that includes the first 11 verses of the opening chapter, which tell of the circumstances of how Samuel came into this world. These opening verses of chapter 1 are what Pastor Jack will focus on for this lesson. Here he is now, pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, with a lesson called, It's Time to Trust God Because.
In the ministry, they were born into it. They're of the lineage. And you might say, well, because they're born into it, doesn't mean that they're automatically holy? Listen, automatically holy in this sense, that they're set aside, they're ordained for God's work. But personal holiness, practical, living it, they were not. That's the boys. But Elkanah, he's a man that is dedicated to God. He goes to worship. The scripture says he goes from year to year to worship the Lord. But there are difficulties, situations of difficulties of life. And this story begins with a hardship right from the get-go. You might want to take into consideration and remember that James chapter 1 tells us, my brethren, count it all joy. No, nobody wants to hear this verse, but James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, it is amazing, until we begin to see God in the situation, the difficulty of our life, we can never count it joy. Now, what does this really mean? If you're a believer tonight and you have difficulties in life, know first of all that they're ordained by God. He knows all about them. And you can wrestle with yourself and say, yeah, but I brought them upon myself. He still knows about them. And he's using them in your life. And he's going to use them for good. James says, count it all joy. Now that word means to reckon. It means to determine. It means to figure it out and come to the conclusion. Did you hear, and can you hear the logic to this? There's no emotion in what James is saying. I wish we could see him say this to us, huh? I always picture James kind of bow-legged with kind of a country accent, hard-nosed kind of farm guy. Tough. Count it all joy. He didn't suggest that. He just said, now listen, you got problems? Count it all joy. Do it. Take what's bugging you, take what the problem is, and determine this is the will of God, and because that's true, I am going to choose to walk in the joy of the Lord. It has nothing, and I'm so grateful, it has nothing to do with happiness. Joy affects our happenstance. Happenstance determines if we're happy or unhappy. If you are joyful, seeing God in your situation, then you will be happy in heart. That doesn't mean that when your house burns down or evil tidings come, or you perceived evil tidings, you go, oh boy, look, my house is burning. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen people like that? It's like, no wonder why the world thinks we're nuts. They're going, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and they're trying to talk themselves into some sort of a happy state. Praise the Lord, but your house just burned. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, you sound kind of sick. I'm not sick. I'm praising the Lord. I don't get that. You know what? The joy of God in the midst of a difficulty and trial is when you say, my house just burned down. Or I'm sicker than a dog. I know God's in it. He knows I'm sick, or he knows my house just burned down. I'm his. Seems to me the Lord's got a burned down house. Seems to me the Lord's got a sick servant here, and I can't do much while I'm sick. So Lord, your will be done. You bought me, you own me. And rest in that. The situations of life, they're difficult. Elkanah has a wife, he has two, obviously, and that wasn't God's will, but it's there in Scripture, recording the story. One is cranking out kids. I mean, she is just a baby factory. We don't know how many kids she has put out, but Hannah has none. And you might want to jot this down. It's interesting. It is believed by the Jewish scholars that Elkanah married Hannah first, and she never bore a child. So Peniah, he took as a second wife to bear children. Does that sound familiar in Scripture? And as we go through this chapter, there's nothing but problems between the two women. Of course. Have you ever had two women in the same kitchen? It's a disaster. Can you imagine having two wives in the same house? The scripture says that we should dwell with our wives according to understanding. Is that possible? Can you imagine having two wives? Elkanah's got two wives. Now, some scholars say, they say it's so impossible for two women to live under the same roof. They believe that Elkanah had two homes and two addresses to keep them separated, and it was only at feast time that they saw one another, as we'll see in our following studies. Don't know. We'll never know. But Hannah was barren, which leads us to the second consideration here. It's time to trust in God because of this. Verses 5 through 8, relationships have their difficulties. You know that? Oh, but listen to this situation. How can God be in this? But he is. But Hannah, the scripture says, verse 5, he would give a double portion. Elkanah would give a double portion, or he would allow to her more of the meat offering, very precious, but he would give her a double portion, for he loved Hannah. Although the Lord had closed her womb. Can you mark that in the Bible? The Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. Says it again. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Peniah would be provoking Hannah. Therefore, she wept, Hannah's weeping, and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Well, that's a very sweet thing to say, I think. He loved her. Look at this. Hannah, why are you crying? It's the feast. I mean, we go up. It's the great celebration. And the scholars debate about which one it is. Was it the celebration of ingathering or tabernacles? They don't know. They're not sure. Tabernacles is assumed because of the joyous celebration that's implied here. Great feasting, great rejoicing. Everyone's having a wonderful time. But Peniah is badgering and eating verbally upon Hannah. Can you imagine going up to worship? Can you imagine going to church and as soon as you show up, oh, here she comes, and rah, 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 rah. Terrible. Or families. You know, you get, come on, we got to go to church. And there's all, you know, get, and everything, and, you know, I was going to say Satan sees to it, but I think the flesh sees to it, that you get in an argument before you get to church. And it's amazing how people are born again when they pull into the parking lot. Praise the Lord. Hi. Hi, Mr. Parking Attendant. You know, and it's like, no, you park after you. No. You know, and about a quarter mile earlier, it's like, I'm not going to church. I can't. You just drive me up the wall. And then they just pull in us. Praise the Lord. It's one thing to have that difficulty in a family. That's tough enough. But in the faith, it ought not to be. But the Bible's honest. There's difficulties in relationships. And as Elkanah would give her a double portion, it says he did it, verse 5, because he loved her. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't love the other one. It just means that she cranked out babies. Because every Jewish man longed for a son. Plus, every Jewish man and woman, wife, by the way, loved and looked forward to having a quiver full, as the scripture puts it. You know what that means, don't you? A quiver? That's where you put all your arrows. Boy, I tell you, you visit Israel today, it's a beautiful thing, especially the old city of Jerusalem, and you go to the Jewish section, and there's this cute shops and stuff and restaurants, and then there's this area where all these little kids are playing. And we've actually seen this happen, where the old men and old women, now they have seen a lot. 70, 80, 90 years old. Remember, they were around before they had their nation back. And they sit on the bench and they watch the children play, and they're just fixed on the children, just fixed. And they're smiling. You can tell on those faces, there's no greater joy. Hannah didn't have that. In fact, her rival had everything. And Elkanah, in his awkward expression, gives her a double portion. He loves her. And he says, come on, sweetheart. Aren't I better to you than 10 sons? 10's the number of an actual bona fide synagogue. You have to have 10 to meet. Aren't I better than 10 boys? Again, precious thing to say, but did it make Hannah feel any better? No, not at all. Difficulties in relationships, difficulties in life, absolutely. Her rival provoked her severely to make her miserable, hated life, because the Lord had closed her womb. Mark that in your Bible. What's going on in your life? Listen, what's going on in your life? Could it be so difficult? Could it be so, can I say, ugly to you? Ugly to me, but God is in it? There's no way that could be true. Listen, it is true. Wait a minute, and let's make it personal. Maybe it's finances, maybe it's health. Maybe you cannot have a child or whatever the case might be. What is it for you? What is it? Could it be that God's in it? Let me ask you something. Are you His property? Then He's in it. Jack, why would I refuse to believe that God would allow this thing or this evil or this whatever? Listen, I am not asking you to understand it. I don't understand it either. But the scripture says in the opening verses of this book that twice God closed her womb. Is He judging her? I don't think so. Is it for God's glory? I believe it is. What's wrong in your life? You can run around like, in fact, Elkanah, who the area he came from, verses 1 and 2, it's a no man's land. Nowhere. I mean, it's Nowheresville. Elkanah could have said, man, I'm from nowhere land. Nowhere. Depends on where you put the space. In nowhere. It could be nowhere. Maybe you're feeling, I'm nowhere, man. Or it's God is now here. Now, here, where? In your situation, in the difficulty. God, I'm at my wit's end. My heart is crushed. I have a rival or rivals that are coming against me. I'm mocked. I'm made fun of. I can't produce. And yet God was in it. I wonder, what do you think? Do you think Hannah ever shook her fist or finger at God? I'll answer for you. I think she did. She's human. I'll answer for you. So have you. So have I. God, why? It's okay to ask God, why? And then there's times when we say, God, why? In other words, you made the wrong decision. You should have let me deal with it. Can you imagine? Jack, I want you to deal with Jupiter. It's kind of starting to wobble. All right, God, I'll take care of it. Can you imagine this universe would fly apart in a millisecond? And you'd be standing there. What'd I do? God's in it. Proverbs 30, verse 15. There are three things that are never satisfied. Four, never say enough. The grave, and number two, the barren womb. Hannah was brokenhearted. Luke chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well advanced in years. It's a disgrace in the Middle East to not bear a child, no matter what the difficulty might be. Even if it's the man's fault, it's a disgrace. Luke 1:35 goes on to say, now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who has been called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible. Luke 1:37. Isn't that beautiful? We need to wrap this up. Listen carefully, real quickly. God's into miracles. He loves them. In your situation, you might be saying, well, I don't no way see a conclusion or a victory in what I'm in. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord because you know what? God comes through in the difficulties of life. In every believer's life, he will come through in the difficulty. God loves a challenge, if he has any, really. Is anything too hard for God? What about Sarah's womb? Remember Sarah? Sarah brought forth Isaac. His name means laughter. God brings forth a boy from Sarah. Her womb was dead. I mean, Abraham says, her womb's dead. And she brings forth a child. Rachel brings forth Joseph and Benjamin. Her womb was dead or closed. Manoah, hers was barren, and she brought forth Samson. Hannah brings forth Samuel. Elizabeth brings forth John the Baptist, all from impossible situations. So that was then. No, God's doing it still. It's amazing to me, though, that God had closed the womb, but he did it to his glory. And finally, we'll end here, 9 through 11. Devotion to God has its difficulties, and we'll end with this. Devotion to God has its difficulties, people. Are any of you considering being a Christian, a real one? I want to be the first to tell you, it's not easy. It's not easy to be a Christian. It's difficult. The scripture says in verse 9, so Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking. By the way, we don't know if she ate or drank with them. Elkanah may have said, come on, honey, eat, please, come on. And she might have drank or eaten a little something at this great celebration. Can you imagine doing that? You ever been in that condition where you're just sick to your stomach and you're supposed to, you know, okay, it's like you don't want to be there or you don't want to participate, but just, you know, we don't know. But she's hurting. So she rose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. That's the original location of the tabernacle before Jerusalem. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat of the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head, or he'll be a Nazarite, dedicated to God. Very, very quickly, obedience in the light of pain, difficulties in life. David, his son, dies. He was weeping, lamenting, fasting. He couldn't eat. He was sick. His son is dying. Then his son dies. David gets up, shaves his face, combs his hair, washes himself, and goes to the temple and begins to worship God. Why? Because he learned obedience in the light of pain. And they said, what are you, David, have you lost your mind? Your son's dead. And he said, hey, while he was alive, I could intercede. But now that he's gone to be with God, it's done. It's over. I'm going to go into the house of the Lord to worship. Obedience. Are you in a painful situation in life? It's time to trust God, because in obedience to him, the pain is controllable, or the pain goes away. God, I'm coming to you. I have nowhere to go. I've lost everything. I've lost this. I've lost that. You fill in the blank. God, I'm coming to you. You're my king. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. I'm bankrupt without you, and I bow down to you, and I begin to worship you, God, because I have no one else. I'm in pain. And in that obedience, God begins to bless. And God hears Hannah's cry. Bitterness of soul. The word means pressured, discontent, smothered, and angry. She's all of these things. And the scripture says that she wept in anguish. The word is bakah, and it means to bewail, to erupt with, listen, to erupt with suppressed lamentation. You ever seen that happen? I'm sure you have. Where a person is trying to keep quiet. They're trying to hide their situation and the emotions, but they just explode, but it's suppressed. And it's a hard way to weep. It's a hard way to deal. And she is just absolutely devastated. God is with you. God is listening to Hannah. God is listening to you. And that situation that has brought you to that point where you feel as though there's a vice on your chest and it's crushing your heart.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson called It's Time to Trust God Because. In fact, it's the opening lesson in this fascinating Old Testament account, which lays out the life of this prophet and judge over Israel. We'll hear more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just last week, Pastor Jack finished up his well-received collection of topical lessons called Why Should I? The series of studies answers some key questions like, why should I fellowship? Why should I tithe? Why should I fast? Why should I evangelize? Why should I find a Christian mate? And that's just to name a few. Well, we've been offering these lessons all on one MP3 CD, and it seems like the requests keep coming in fast and furious, so we're going to extend that offer. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series called Why Should I? All on one MP3 CD, real simple, easy to use. That's Pastor Jack's entire series you've been hearing right here on Real Radio. The Why Should I series on MP3 CD normally goes for $40. But right now, for your gift of any amount to the broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send it your way. Call, click, or write, whichever works best for you. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click on the button that says Special Offer, realradioactive.org. Our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you can write to us and send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Ask for it by name, the Why Should I series on MP3 CD. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.